Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
From 1 Corinthians 12, 25 to 27. So that there be no division in the body, but that its parts shall have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part rejoices, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We'll go to prayer. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. You have given us blessings beyond number. We have our church family. We have so many material blessings in this country. And thank you for this time of year, Lord, for the hope of the resurrection of eternal life. And we pray for this congregation, and we pray for those that mourn. And we mourn with them and rejoice with them with thanksgiving. Lord, we pray for the people in the Ukraine, and be with them, and that they may turn to you, and be with the ones that can't be here today because of health or travels. May you meet their needs. And may you give Tim the message that you want us to hear. May we take it with us through the rest of the week. And we ask your blessing on the offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shall we stand?
Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all. Beginning and the end.
may be seated.
Good morning. Good morning. I love it. Man, talk about having a fun way to wake up Thursday morning, Saturday morning, seeing that four-letter word laying there on the ground. Yeah, wasn't quite expecting that one. But I am glad to see everybody here this morning. I'm excited that everybody was able to travel in and so forth. And just real quick on the Ukrainian update, they said thank you so much. So far, we've raised over $2,000 that we have directly taken in on, at a church, not including those of you who have donated online and done other things like that. So just a huge thank you for everybody. And it is much needed, and they ask for just continuing prayer. Just continue to pray for them. So before we get into today's lesson, let's take a moment and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together to praise and to worship you. Father, we ask that this morning that we lift up our Ukrainian brothers and sisters as they're over there in the middle of this mess, that they may just feel the warmth of you surrounding them as they gather and still continue to worship you in the middle of this war going on, that they may continue to be a light into the community that they have. Father, also we ask to be with John and Jenny, and even throughout this distance that they have, that they may be a light to those areas. And may we continue to pray for a hedge of a protection. As we get into your word, we ask this morning, it's your words that are spoken and not mine. And Father, that if I say of anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we spoke about how we are called to love the children and what we believe about children, and how the children are part of the parents and the church's mission field. And essentially, I believe it's one of the most important mission fields that we have. Which brings us to this week's lesson. In the We Believe booklet, the title is Global Missions. And before we get far into the message this morning, I have a couple of questions I want each of you to ponder on and think about for a little bit. And think about it as we go through. Are you ready to count it all lost for the sake of Christ? Are you ready to say yes to Jesus no matter what it costs you? Do you understand that your home is not here on earth? And are you ready to pick up your cross daily and follow him, even if it costs you everything you have here? I know I've spoken several times about missions here, and being the hands and feet of Jesus, and how we're called to reach the world around us. Often when we think of missions, we think of something that we should do, but being on mission is not something that only you and I do. But God has been on mission since the day that mankind fell, working on getting each man and woman to look back to him and restoring us. In Romans 1:19, it tells us, since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. It's the idea that God has been revealing himself to each man, woman, and child since the beginning, that we are without excuse, that the world around us declares who God is. Being on mission is about being sent. It's the idea of being sent out into the world. It's not something that the church initiates on its own or a person does on its own, but it's something that the Holy Spirit stirs inside of each of us. It's not something that you and I just up and decide one day on our own regard. I know when I answered my call to come out here, it was something that God started stirring in me several years beforehand. Not necessarily about this church, but he was preparing me that there's going to be changes coming in my life. There's a new direction that he's moving me from. I had spent all that time in youth ministry, and I needed to prepare for the next step, my next role that God had in store. It wasn't something that just happened overnight. And in Acts 1:8, it tells us, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witness to Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. I love that verse. It's such a great reminder that this is what the Holy Spirit is sent for as well. Not only to convict us, not only to show us Christ and reveal his word to us, but to help guide us in our steps into the mission field. Help guide us to that direction that God has called for us. We're never alone in the mission process. God has prepared each of us for a time such as this. He's prepared us for the people that you and I are called to reach. Just as God has prepared my heart to move here, to move out of the area I grew up in, away from my family and friends, to be on mission here at Mount Carroll and the surrounding areas, God has called me to come out here and work with the local body of believers to be a mission in our community. I can't do it alone. But often, if we took a poll in here today, and I asked, what do you think about when you think about missions? Often the answer would be, it would regard some kind of mission trip overseas or to another country. Or the answer would be about different missionaries that you and I have heard about. You know, for a lot of us currently, it would be John and Jenny, the missionaries in Ukraine, or any other number of missionaries that we might know or sponsor. Sometimes these missionaries show up and give presentations of what they have been doing and what they're trying to raise money for, or to the goals they're trying to achieve and what God has called them to do. They show us pictures and videos of the work they've been doing. They show us and tell us about stories of people that they're trying to reach for Jesus, telling us about the churches or small groups and Bible studies they have started. These are all amazing things, and I pray for our missionaries all the time. And I hope that you guys pray for them as well. These are people who've answered that call that God has placed in their life. They've prepared themselves to leave their family and friends behind, going to a land where they don't know anyone, with a culture that's completely different than anything they've known before. They often have to learn a new language and live in a different life, one of the great personal sacrifices they make. And they do it all to share the gospel of Christ to people who don't know Jesus. They're there to baptize them, to teach them, to be a light in their community. And they do this all for the love of Jesus and the work of the gospel. And they're completing the Great Commission. And if you guys haven't heard me say this before, Matthew 28:19-20. It's kind of a big passage for me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In verse 20 it says, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. I hound that down because that is what we're called to do. I constantly bring that up because of that. Because here's the question I have for you. When was the last time we showed videos about the things that we're doing here in our community? When was the last time we shared stories about the people that we're reaching for Jesus in our community? When was the last time we talked about the new Bible study programs that we've got going on? When was the last time we cared that much about our community and not just worrying about the missionaries coming in? Because often when we think of being on mission, we only think of the foreign lands. But the truth is, we are called to be missionaries right here in our own country. Right here in our own state, towns, and neighborhoods. Did you know that America is considered such a ripe mission field right now that other countries are sending missionaries to us? Yeah. That's a good really, because that's a lot of people's responses. Other countries are now sending missionaries to us because we won't do it. Our mission field is our neighbors, our friends, and our families. It's the people that you and I pass on the street. It's the local business owner. It's our bosses. It's our coworkers. Because we all are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We don't just get a pass just because we're not called to be missionaries overseas. We're called to be missionaries right here. And God has placed you right where He wants you for a time such as this. Ultimately, we believe that every Christian, every church, every nation is called to participate in making disciples. And we do this through missional work. No matter where you are in your walk with Christ, No matter how mature you are in your faith, you have a responsibility to be an ambassador for Jesus, to be an ambassador for Christ, to the world around us. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So when we go out, we declare, and what we're trying to do is get people to be reconciled back with the Father. But what does it mean to be an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is a representative of one nation to another. And if we're saved by grace through faith in Christ, if we're covered by the blood of Jesus, our citizenship is in heaven. That is where citizenship is found. So the nation that we represent is heaven. It's God's kingdom. That's where we're ambassadors for. So for us to be ambassadors of Christ, we need to represent God in the world that we live in today. Often a nation will pick an ambassador. They will pick someone that is willing to go into another nation, live among that nation and that people, and when they live there in that nation, they still belong, though, to the other nation where they came from. So just because we're living in the world, it doesn't mean that we belong to the world. We still keep the traditions and values of the nation that we represent, not the nation that we go to. Just like we live in our communities, it doesn't mean that we have to live like our communities. Instead, we're called to live a life that's set apart. It goes back to the old saying, be in the world, not of the world. But somewhere along the lines, we've started to blur that cultural line. Nowadays, it's become harder and harder to see the difference between someone who claims to be a Christian and the world around us. Many people who call themselves Christians are living the exact same way as the world around them. Their lifestyles are no different. Instead of us influencing the world has started to influence us. Last week, I spoke about abortion. And what blows my mind is how many people who say they're Christians, and this is especially common within the younger generations, are okay with abortion. They don't feel like it's something that we should have a say in. They don't value the life that God has created. But here's the thing. It's us older generations' fault for not standing and telling them the truth from the beginning. When we didn't take that lead, the world told them what to believe. When we don't take that stand, the world will tell them where to stand. You know, when I was younger, there was this saying. Some of you may have heard it before, some may not. It was called YOLO. And for those of you who don't know what it means, it's spelled Y-O-L-O. And it was the idea, and it was saying, was you only live once. And the idea was do whatever makes you happy. And that's still in the world today. We have people chasing worldly things, searching for joy in all the wrong places. We wonder why there's a record number of people that are depressed in our society. It's because people don't know that our hope is found in Christ alone. There's nothing else under the sun that can give us the hope that Jesus does. Don't get me wrong, there are certain issues that really do need medical attention on that. I am not opposed to that. If that's something that you're struggling with. But our hope is in Jesus alone. We have started to look at marriage in a different light. We no longer take our vows seriously. If we don't find joy in our relationship, we use the idea of, you only live once. So we look elsewhere instead of investing in what God has given us. The world no longer holds to the sanctity of marriage. This idea has crept into the churches as well, the idea that love is love, and it doesn't matter what the Bible says. We often use that line. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It's about how we feel now. Or that was then, this is now. Yet, God said it's an abomination. Very clearly. Sex is no longer considered something only for the marriage bed. The world says, do whatever you want that makes you happy. Yet God says that it's for the union of man and woman in the marriage relationship. This habit of hopping in and out of relationships does nothing more than teach us that if we're not happy, we can just leave. The problem is that's also gotten into the churches. And again, because we haven't talked about it for generations, the world has told our younger people what to do and what to expect because we stayed quiet. Yet Christ doesn't ask, this is not what Christ asks of us. He asks us to stand up for truth, to stand up for the Word of God, and no matter the cost, we need to remember our reward is not found here on earth, our reward is heaven. It's not always popular to stand for these things. It's not always popular to stand up for what the Bible says. So what holds us back from being ambassadors for Christ? What are we called, that the things that we're called to be, is it others? Is what holding us back, is it the people around us? Are we worried about how they're going to look at us? Is it our schedule? Are we too busy? In the world we live in, we're on the go all the time, having some place to be. From the moment that we get up in the morning till the moment that we lay down our heads at night, our days are filled. Have we become too busy for God? Our fears. Are you worried about how people will respond if you present the gospel? I know many of us have been raised that there is two things that we don't talk about in society: politics and religion. And because of this, we often stay quiet about the issues at hand because we don't want to stir the pot. We don't want to offend anyone. Especially then when it moves into our family. Sometimes we don't want to share our faith with our family because we don't want to cause division within our family. We don't want to come across as some kind of radical. There used to be this term that was used several years ago, and some people did not like it, but there were people, they would call them Jesus freaks if they liked Jesus too much. And if they felt they were taking the Bible too seriously. Some of it comes down to the last 50 years. For a long time in our nation, we rested on the fact that we were a Christian nation. We rested on the fact that one had heard about Jesus. So if everyone has heard about Jesus, then why do we need to talk about him? They had a chance to make up their minds already. Unfortunately, that is not true anymore. Though many of our nations have heard something about Jesus, but they have never heard about the love of Jesus. The amount of information that is out there about Jesus that is false information is incredible. They may have only heard how Jesus doesn't like if they do one thing or another, but they didn't hear about how he came and he died on the cross for their sins. He didn't hear about how much he loved them. They didn't hear about how they were created in his image. They didn't hear all of that because we were quiet. We often hold off on what we'll say about Jesus because we're worried about what it might cost us. We're worried that it'll cost us our friendships, our relationships. We worry that we'll be rejected. We may even worry that it'll cost us our jobs or our livelihoods. The further society has moved away from Jesus, the higher the cost seems to be for those who follow him and take his word seriously. I know the day will come where we'll no longer be able to preach the full gospel standing up front here. The day will come where we'll not be able to preach Jesus in America. And believe me, it's already started. We may not be sent to jail at this moment, but Christians are being canceled for standing for the word of God. Facebook pages are being taken down. Anything that's being put on Twitter, all of it. We may not be sent to jail right now, but Christians are being canceled for standing firm on the Word of God. And there was a bunch of churches down in Texas, believe it or not, Texas of all places, that the mayor filed a lawsuit against them wanting copies of all of their sermons because she was the first elected gay mayor, and she wanted to know what these pastors had been preaching on for the last couple years to see if she would consider it hate speech, and she wanted to start regulating what they could preach on. That's in America. She lost. Thankfully, the courts held up. But it started. In England, there was a pastor just thrown in jail for saying that homosexuality was a sin, for reading the passage. In Canada, they can get thrown in jail for inciting riots if they say something like that. And they deem that it was the pastor's message or the Christian's message. This is not a joke. These things are happening. And we stay quiet. Brings us to our passages today that we're going to be looking at. Acts chapter 16 for anyone who wants to follow along. We're going to be starting at verse 16 as well. And the first verse is, once as we were on our way to prayer, let me preface this first. The story opens with Paul and Silas traveling. So when we talk about we, that's who we're speaking of. Once as we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future, and she made a large profit for her owners in the fortune telling. These kind of fortune tellers, just so you guys know, were something that the masters would have loved. You see, generals at that time, commanders of military and so forth, would seek out these people and consult with them before they prior to going into war to see what the outcome for them would be. And to see that. But they didn't care about the slave girl. They didn't care about what the future looked like for her. All they cared was that their agenda was covered and that they could make some money. It's the same as in the world we live in today. In the secular world, they don't give two thoughts about where someone's going to spend eternity. They give no thoughts about how it's affecting someone's life as long as their life is okay the way they want to do it and it's not challenged. Is their agenda met? And they want the world to approve whatever they want. They don't want to be told anything that could upset them. In verse 17 it says, and as she followed Paul and us, she cried out, those men who are proclaiming to you a way of salvation are the servants of the Most High God. Verse 18, it says, she did this for many days. Paul was greatly annoyed, turning to the Spirit, and he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came right away. And you may wonder, why would Paul do this? Why would he cast out a demon, even if, especially what the demon was saying was true? They serve the great high God. Just as there is hope, hold on. But think about this real quick. What kind of life was that girl living at that moment being filled with that demon? There was no hope for her at the state in which she was. Even though the demon was saying the truth inside of her, she deserved that freedom. Just as there's no hope for those who don't know Jesus, they have no real future in front of them. She would have faced looking at an eternity in hell. Our friends and our family who don't know Jesus are looking at the same thing. They may be in the middle of the world and may look good to the world and may look appetizing to the world, but their futures are bleak if they don't know Jesus. I have a question for you. How can you say you love someone and not give them the truth about Jesus? This is something that has often baffled me. How can you say you love someone and not stand firmly for what the Word of God says and what the Bible teaches us? As we continue through this passage, 19 to 21, it says, when her owners realized of their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to the authorities. To bring them before the chief magistrates, they said, these men are seriously disturbing our city. They are Jews and are prompting customs that are not legal for us as Romans to adopt or practice. See, there was legal and illegal religions at the time that this was going on. There were religions that you could not practice. So when Paul disrupted the men and spoke out about what was doing and cast out that demon, the world took notice. And just like when we stand up for truth and justice, when we stand up for the children, when we stand up for marriage, when we stand up for immigrants, when we stand up for everything in those bases, the world takes notice. When we stand up and declare that it's through Christ alone that we are saved, that there's no other way to heaven but through the blood of Jesus, people are not always going to like us. But our concern should not be whether they like us. Our concern needs to be, where are people spending eternity? You know, the crowd in verse 22 to 24, it says, the crowd joined into the attacks against them, and the chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them beaten with their rods. And after they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail and ordered the jailer and the guard to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them in the inner prison and secured their feet in their stocks. Now, of course, the crowd joined in. Joined the complaints of the locals who didn't act their way. There was no trial, no hearing, no opportunity to defend themselves. This is often where we had stopped as Christians. We get scared. And before we get to the point that the world starts throwing us in shackles. Think about how many bakers have been sued in the last several years for not making a cake. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what the world throws at us. We have to remember that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are to stand firm for the nation we belong to. Though the world around us may not always understand, there is an opportunity for us to declare Jesus in the middle of wherever God places us. Just like Paul and them got thrown into the jail. We need to remember that not everything is good. The fact that Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown in jail is not good. But God can use that for his good. And that's what he did. If we look at the rest of the passage, I'm going to fly through here real quick and just read it, 25 to 34. It is an amazing ending to this story. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the jail were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword, and he was going to kill himself, since he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out in a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he escorted them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved and your household." And he spoke the words of the Lord to him, along with everyone else in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. Right away, he and all his family were baptized. He brought them into the house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. You see, because Paul and Silas were willingly to be obedient to God and face whatever the world threw at them, there was a young lady that was freed of her bondage. Because Paul and Silas were willing to be obedient, there was an entire family that came to the knowledge of Jesus. Never underestimate why God placed you in the place that he did. Never underestimate why God gave you that person in your life. Never underestimate the calling that he has placed, the neighbors that he is there for you. It is up to you to stand up and be firm, even in the hardest of days. To stop worrying about how the world sees you and start thinking about how does God see you. Because we have to remember, at the end of the world, we all are going to have to give an account for everything that we did in front of Jesus. We're going to have to admit why we didn't stand firm, why we allowed that person. And can you imagine your friend or family member standing in front of Jesus, and you told them it was fine to live the life the way they wanted, and they find themselves going to hell because they didn't know the truth because you were unwilling to get uncomfortable. Because you were too scared of how the world was going to look at you. I am more worried about how God looks at me than I'm worried about how anybody else here looks at me. I will preach the word of God till the day that I die. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I fear God way more than I fear any of you. Way more. We need to start seeing this as important. We need to start standing our ground firmly in the world that we live in. We actually want to see change? Stand firm on the word of God. Get uncomfortable for Jesus. Because you stay in that comfort zone, we're going to continue losing ground, and it's going to become harder and harder to live out the life that God has called us to live. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we want to thank you for the opportunity we had to praise and to worship you today. Father, I ask that we may just remember that you have called us for a time such as this, that you have called us to be the hands and feet of Jesus to our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, that everyone deserves to know your goodness and your glory. Father, may we walk out in boldness to each person that we run into, and may we declare your goodness to our communities. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have stood up here numerous times and talked about taking a firm stand for the gospel of Jesus for you guys. And it dawned on me there's something I've never shared. I have lost friends. I have lost family. I've been criticized. I've been called names. I've been called all types of things, had different things done to me. My name ran through the mud, all for taking a stand for the gospel of Jesus. I don't say this as someone who hasn't faced it himself. I say this because at the end of the day, I have counted the cost And Christ is worth that cost. And I know at the end, he wins. So as you go out this week, may you remember that and stand firm in your faith and your foundations, which are in Christ alone. God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.